You know, we need to think about it more and more all the time, how wonderful it is, especially in this wild and crazy world that we're living in right now. You know, it's quite different, you know, from 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I remember growing up, we never locked the door to our house. You know, we were safe. But now it's such a crazy world going on right now, and with all of the drugs being poured into this country, that you don't know who is driving towards you in a car. You don't know who is going to knock on your door. We're living in some crazy times, but we have to remember that we are very special people, very, very special people that God has created and called us to know his plan for our life today, each day that we live, that he has planned for us to live in this time, and to know his truth. And I was talking with a lady earlier here about, you know, it's God the Father that does the calling. And when he plants the seeds, and we are helpers of planting the seeds, and when he sees a willing heart with someone that wants to learn more, then he turns that person over to Jesus Christ to lead them, direct them, and encourage them. And and if they make the right choices and still have that willing heart, they become members of the church by repenting of their sins and being baptized. And that's the way the program goes, of course. But we need to realize the active role that we are responsible for right now. We weren't called just to save our own skin. We are called to do the will of God and have a very active part in it. And it's amazing, as we think about it, all the miracles that our Heavenly Father has done in creating this little planet called Earth that we live on. We all need to stop sometime and take a closer look the earth and our human bodies, how marvelous and how fascinating God's work is. I mean, you can just look out. I know during the week at 5 o'clock in the morning, I take Pat to her job, and we take a look at the moon and the stars as we walk out the back door, and it's just amazing God's handiwork. And then you think about your own body. You think of all the organs and all that was planned to have this body to actually work, even though it is a temporary body. But God has done some fantastic miracle works. We need to probably dwell on that a whole lot more than what we do. We would appreciate God for his miracles and knowing that he is God. That is a marvelous thing in itself. Bible tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he made a world that has all of the elements to sustain humans and all temporary life. All temporary life is, you know, that's like the ants, the bugs, the birds, the bears, and everything else that there is. We are all in temporary life. And it's amazing that God picked me and he picked you out of all the billions of people that have been created. He planted the seeds, and he saw a willing heart in each one of us here. We're not here because we chose to be here. God has called each and every one of us to be here for a reason. And so we certainly appreciate that. Appreciate that very, very much. And we do have a responsibility. And he has called us to be prepared, taught and prepared, to be in that first resurrection. And why is it the best resurrection? It's because our hope is that at the return of Jesus Christ, if we have already died, or even if we're still alive at that time, to be changed from flesh to spirit. Now, all of the people that didn't take the seed or have their opportunity to know God and to be able to make that choice, there's going to be billions. That's why it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. That'll happen right after the millennium, after the 1,000-year period. All those people will be resurrected from flesh back into flesh and going to have to live a lifetime again to be taught and prepared and to have them to make a choice to be in God's kingdom, in God's family. And so the first resurrection is the best one. I mean, who would want to go through this physical life one more time with all the hurts and the pains and all that is going on? Well, anyway, this is all so amazing. It's so very hard for us to even take it all in, you know, to think of the miracles that God has performed. But he has given us, excuse me, the understanding that he is in the process of expanding his family. Yes, he is. You know, for us to think about it, how long is it going to take? Well, as long as he wants it to take. God doesn't count time the way that we do. The only time that we can count are the few days and years that he allows us to live for us to be prepared and ready to be changed, whether we die or whether Christ comes back and we're still alive. But he is in the process of expanding his family. And we are in a fantastic process ourselves with the knowledge that he's giving us, the spiritual food. Excuse me. I have a little bit of bronchitis. Our Heavenly Father and his Son, our elder brother, are all powerful. We know that. To be able to do all the things that they have done for us. And there's no doubt about it. When you do a study and you think about how we are made and all the things that God has created, they are all powerful. And there is nothing that will or can stop the fulfillment of their plan of bringing sons and daughters to glory as they are. Again, they are in the process of expanding the family of God. We also know that there is a spirit world out there, spirit world that is invisible to us humans, and we know that the majority of the living spirits are loyal to God. The majority of them are, but there is another group that is two-thirds less, that are called demons, that defected and are following the archangel himself, Satan the devil, that tried to dethrone our Almighty God, tried to dethrone him. And that was back in the days, if you read in Isaiah chapter 14, you can read about Lucifer, how he was, you know, brightening morning star there. And, you know, he was a high-ranking archangel. And he got so much pride in himself that he decided, well, I can take the place of the Creator. Well, little did he know who was all-powerful, but he found out. But he's still in the process right now of grieving over that and doesn't like me and you very well. Our Heavenly Father has a vested interest in each one of us that he has called to know and to be obedient to him and only him. He makes that very clear. And he will fight all of our battles for us if we choose to let him do it. You know, he wants to hear from us every day and all day long. He wants to have that close relationship with us. He wants us to tell him about the battles we're going through and depend on him to help and fight the battle and to show us what we should be doing. And why does he do this? Why would he want us to do that? It's because our God and Father is a very jealous God. Yes, he is. He's extremely jealous. You know, his kind of jealousy is not like our human jealousy about, you know, saying, well, hey, you know, I saw this new car that so-and-so's got, and I'm jealous. You know, that's a different kind of jealous. He is our parent. He is the one that created us, and he has plans for us to be in his family. Our God is a jealous God. That's the title of today's sermon. In the March and April Beyond Today magazine in 2021, Mr. Darris McNeely picked up on something that was said in a prayer when the newly elected Congress convened in Washington, D.C. on January the 3rd. The prayer was well prepared, and it was cleverly written, and was given so smooth that most people just glossed over it without listening to the words. I think we need to revisit this prayer. That's why I gave this sermon in Nashville. I guess it was last spring sometime. And you may have already heard it, but we're going to revisit it again if you've already heard it. But this is very important that we can understand this and get warnings from it. Because what was said in this man's prayer was very blasphemous against Almighty God. And I actually saw this live on TV as the Congress there was convening in Washington, D.C. that day. And evidently, Mr. McNeely did too. And he wrote in the Beyond Today magazine a very good article about it. The prayer in question was delivered by House Representative Emanuel Cleaver. Now, he is a Democrat from Missouri who is a supposed ordained minister of what church, I don't know, or if it can even be called a church, I don't know. And what Mr. Cleaver started, as he started the prayer with, and I'm going to quote it here, he said, "My Lord, lift up the light of his countenance upon us and give us peace, peace in our families, peace across the land, and dare I ask, O Lord, peace even in this chamber." Well, so far, so good. You know, we can agree with that part of it. Now, here's where the slyness and the trickiness comes in. Now, after all that, of course, that all sounds pretty good so far, but then he concluded with this, and he said, "We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God Brahma, Brahma, and God, known by many names, by many different faiths, amen, and a woman." That's how he closed the prayer out. Well, the a woman part closing got some attention and highly deserved ridicule just on the a woman part, and not much was said about it in the news media. But here is what we want to make note of in his prayer. The little G God, Brahma, that he was praying to and asked on is the chief Hindu creator deity. And the reference to God known by many names, he was talking about the real God, our Father in heaven. He lumped them all in with these little G gods and their belief systems. I mean, how blasphemous that is to lump real God into these demon people that are led by Satan. In this whole process here, there was very few people that actually picked up on that. Mr. McNeely did, and I did. I was just really kind of shocked when I heard it. But this congressman, he invoked the name of a pagan deity and inferred any other pagan little g god or goddess one chooses to believe in. Whoever they were choosing to believe in was okay with him. They're going to lump the real God in with this. This was a desecrating sacrilege against the true God of Abraham, the God of the Bible, that was invoked by the founding fathers of the United States of America. This God is intended in the national motto of "In God We Trust," and He is the same God meant in the Pledge of Allegiance, the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag that we repeat, declaring the United States of America as one nation under God. Excuse me again. In Matthew 12:26, the scripture warns us that God will not be mocked and that all will reap consequences for what we do and what we say, and we will give account in the day of judgment. And in verse 37, there of Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says, "By far your words, you will be justified." and by your words you will be condemned. So we have to be careful exactly what we say. We are never alone. Our book of life is being written every second of every day. And God is keeping track of our words that we say and in the words that that we live by. Pagan little g gods cannot be lumped in with the true God as if they are the same. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 19 through 21, the Apostle Paul explained that those who worship pagan idols are actually worshiping demons. And then Paul went on to say, "So what am I saying then? That an idol is anything? Or what is offered to idols, anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons." Paul was very, very staunch about that, of course. "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons." To be clear, a demonic force, when this man said this prayer, there is the Congress was convening there on January the 3rd, 2021. To be clear, a demonic force was unleashed in the chamber of the United States House Representatives on that day. And the demons are in charge yet today. Our government is doing some wild things that we never believed that would ever happen. They no longer follow the Constitution. They make their own laws, do whatever they want to, and they are overtaking people. We live in a almost like a third world country government right now. It's very strange. But this is a test on us as well. God wants to see if we're going to stay close to Him, if we're going to have Him to fight our battles for us and protect us. We want to make sure that our faith meter is way up in believing that God the Father is the creator of all things, that He sustains us. We belong to Him. And we can call on Him day and night. We may ask ourselves whether or how God responded to this blasphemous prayer. And is there any connection between this sacrilege and a mob storming through the Capitol 3 days later on January the 6th that sent the same representatives running and cowering in fear? We can ask these questions, but we should know and understand that prayer matters. Yes, it does. Probably the strongest thing that we as Christians and believer in God the Father and Jesus Christ are our prayers. God wants to hear our prayers day and night, constantly, as we live our lives. And our sin reaps a whirlwind if we are sinning, and has consequences, if not repented of. And we know we all sin every day, and we all need to repent daily. As soon as a sin pops in your head, repent of it and ask God to give you the strength to be the overcomer. Because the overcomers are the ones that's going to be saved. You know, if you think about it, you know, about talking about the whirlwind, you may recall Mr. Schumer there in the state of, in the representatives there, said he said to the Supreme Court, Mr. Kavanaugh, and a couple of others, I think he was, he says, "You have unleashed the whirlwind upon you, and you will pay." Satan was speaking right through his mouth on that one. The whole world knows that we Americans have a sick government. The whole world knows that, and that we are weak, and our government is sliding downhill fast. And we know why. It's because our country, the majority of the people that live in our country, have turned their backs on God and blasphemed Him. Human nature has not changed and is still rotten to the core, and Satan is guiding and using it against all humans. How very, very, very true that is. And you can see example after example all the way through the entire Bible, where it gives examples of individuals and nations that have turned their backs on God. God has allowed them to go into slavery, into captivity, and droughts, and starving to death. God allows curses to come on people that turn their backs on Him. This is a warning and a lesson to each and every one of us. Things are going to get tough a little bit later here. We've got it good right now, but things are going to really get tough later. The sorrows are on the doorstep, and they are going to be coming very, very hard. Again, human nature has not changed, but we need to be thinking about our human nature. We need to be thinking about reflecting the fruits of the Spirit in our life, Galatians chapter 5, and to really, really think about how we are living our lives and what we're thinking in our head. There are no secrets. God knows our mind. And now for the good news. For those of us whom God has called, and if we stay focused and obedient to God and grow every day in His grace and knowledge, how do we do that? Well, we're going to have to do Bible study. We're going to have to pray about it, asking God to open our minds even more. As we read the Scriptures, we get more out of the same Scriptures that we read over and over that God is giving us. He will protect us and bless us no matter what the leaders of our country do, but we must remain faithful. Make sure our faithful meter is running high and growing. We are to be growing every day of our lives. And give God the thanks and the glory for being our Heavenly Father and Almighty God. The little g gods do nothing. They are controlled by the demons, by Satan and the demons. And they have already been judged. They know what's going to happen to them, and they hate us and want to destroy me and you. For the rest of this era and time frame that God has placed us to live in, we don't see things getting any better. Like I just mentioned, things are going to get a whole lot worse. And we can see all that that will be happening as we read the prophecies. The prophecies have been opened. Our minds have been opened to be able to read the prophecies and understand them and put them in order. And the prophecies have never missed, and they never will. Oh, I didn't mention, there is some good news. And you already know what it is. And that is our Heavenly Father, at a time of His choosing, will send His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, back to this earth. And He's going to send Him back with a sword. You know, they say, well, you know, Jesus Christ is going to come back and bring peace. Yes, He will, but not at first. He's going to send Him back with a sword, and He will put down all of the governments of this world, and He will set up the kingdom of God. And if we remain overcomers of our human nature, we will rule with Him forever and ever. Now, that's the really good news. That's the really good news, the ultimate. But like I said, He is coming with a sword, and He is going to show who is going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We can see from the very evidence that down through the ages, humans have proven over and over again that they don't have the ability to rule over ourselves. And we are seeing that every day, and for sure, we don't have the ability for sure to rule over others. We can't even rule over our own children. That's like Pat and I's children. They grew up in the church. They no longer go to church. And it's not their time, evidently, to be called. God the Father does the calling, but I guess, you know, He has to look for that willing heart. During the return of our Savior, He will bring divine government of God, and it will be a pure government, a very pure government that is from our Creator God. It will not be a government of or by the people, but it will be a government for the people, from Almighty God and administered from the top down. It will not be a so-called democracy, which is mob rule. No, that's not going to happen. God's government is from Him, from the top down. It's not a democracy like this thing that they're pushing on us. And it's not supposed to be a democracy in the first place. We are a representative government, but they have thrown that out. And they are preaching that we're a democracy. Well, how fooled they will be. And it will not be a socialism. God's government won't be a socialism. It won't be a communism or fascism or any other kind of ism. There will be no election campaigns where the opponents do their best to destroy the character of each other just to put themselves in a light for someone to vote for them while they are spending millions of dollars to get a government job that supposedly pays $175,000. And then they somehow really get rich by passing laws that benefits corporations and other countries, and they get the kickback money. And that's the evil that's in politics. There's a whole lot of evil in politics, full of bribes. And that's why a lot of these politicians are fighting so hard to be reelected, because they're on the money train. Have you ever seen a poor politician? I haven't. Well, now getting back to the main reason for this sermon, the people of the world, and especially the people of our country, all have turned their backs on God and His wonderful plan for eternal life for all of us. Our God, our Heavenly Father, and His only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, they dearly love us. They dearly love the humans that they have produced, and that they have made. And they have proven that by the sacrifice that Jesus paid. He came here and was born through a woman and lived in this human flesh as we did. Came here for the reason of bringing the good news of God's coming kingdom, but also He came to pay the price for all the sins, to make a way for me and you to be justified before God the Father, so that we can have eternal life. But we have to practice living God's way of life right now. Our book of life is being written every second, and there is no fooling God. There are no secrets. We have to remember that Jesus Christ died and paid the price for all humanity. He did it one time. There is no second sacrifice. And we as parents, me and you, we would walk through fire for our children and are ready to protect them from anyone that would want to hurt them. And God the Father and our Savior feel the same way about us. And they know that Satan and his demons would love to tear me and you and our children to shreds. That's exactly what they want to try to do. Our Heavenly Father God in Christ and Satan and his demons are all invisible to our human eyes. But we can be sure that there are battles going on right now to protect me and you. These beings are invisible. God's angels and Satan and his demons, they are all invisible to me and you. But they are in battles right now to protect us. And we need to thank God daily for that. God does not want us to have anything to do with idols or any little g nothing gods. Idols can do nothing, but our Heavenly Father gives us life. And we need to be dependent on God and know who God is and not any other and worship none other. So in closing, let's turn to Exodus chapter 20. Let's read verses 1 through 6 and we'll see why. Exodus chapter 20, let's read the first six verses there. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now that you know, for us, he's talking about sin for me and you. Jesus Christ paid the price and brought us out of our bondage of sin. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness or anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. So there we have it. How do we show our love to God? By keeping his commandments and eating God's spiritual food daily, praying to God and asking him to fight our battles for us. He said we can come before him boldly and speak with him about anything because he knows our mind, but he wants us to speak it to him. He wants to hear from us daily. We need to show God that we love him and appreciate him and his son Jesus for what they are doing for us. They will protect us and take good care of us. And we need to be giving thanks and praise to our Heavenly Father. Why? Because he is a jealous God. And let's remember that we are loved. Good to see you all. We will see you on Monday.